Please stand for our gospel reading from John chapter 18. Then the company of soldiers, their commanders, and the Jewish guards arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas because he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews, "It is better that one man die for the people." Simon Peter and another disciple kept following Jesus. That disciple was known to the high priest, so he went into the high priest's courtyard with Jesus, but Peter stood outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and talked to the girl watching the door and brought Peter in. "You are not one of this man's disciples too, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. "I am not," he said. The servants and the guards were standing around a fire of coals that they had made because it was cold. While they warmed themselves, Peter was standing with them, warming himself too. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in a synagogue or at the temple where all the Jews gather. I said nothing in secret. Why are you questioning me? Ask those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he said this, one of the guards standing there hit Jesus in the face. "Is that how you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus answered, "testify about what was wrong. But if I was right, why did you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Simon Peter continued to stand there warming himself, so they said to him, "You are not one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Peter denied it again, and just then a rooster crowed.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is in control of all things. Day by day, he gives us our body and soul. Day by day, he gives us our eyes, ears, and all our members, our reason, and all our senses. Day by day, he gives us our clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that we have. Day by day, he provides everything that is needed to support this body and life. What is more fundamental to being God than this activity? God being God means that he gives and works everything. This extends to things that can make us nervous, to say the least. God is not evil. The devil is evil. God tempts no one. And yet God is the one who keeps this world going. If God didn't sustain the devil would be no more. If God didn't sustain evildoers, the evildoers would be no more. If God didn't sustain viruses, they would be no more. And so God is involved in whatsoever should happen on this earth. If God isn't behind everything that happened on this earth, then he actually would not be God. Or he would have to be just one God among other gods. But there is only one God. Most people do not enjoy thinking about how God is the one who works everything. Cancer, for example, is bad enough. The thought that somehow God is behind it can be terrifying. Perhaps you were nervous about what Jesus said in the gospel reading this past Sunday. He made it seem that God was behind Pilate's mixing of the worshippers' blood with the sacrifices. He made it seem that God had made the tower fall. And Jesus concluded both of these by saying, "Repent, otherwise you will perish too." Unfortunately, this truth that God is in control of everything, that God works everything, has been withheld from you and from me, even though it is not hard to find in the Bible. It's everywhere. It has been withheld from us because it has been thought that God needs some better public relations. God needs to be sold to people. Otherwise, they won't extend the courtesy of believing in him. Oh, this is totally backwards, however. It's as though we're the ones who are gods, and we get to pick whether or not we recognize God. That is utterly stupid and unbelievably unbiblical. There is nothing that is more contradictory to the Bible than a thought like that. The only way people have gotten away with this kind of thing is that nobody reads their Bible. God exists. God is in control of all things. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without God's say-so. The hairs on your head are numbered. It's not like God goes on vacation when bad things happen. He works all in all. Whether you like this fact or not is really beside the point. Whether you like God or not doesn't change the fact that he exists and works all things. He's going to continue existing. You not liking him just means that you are his enemy and not his friend. If this frightens you, then that's good. It means that you're paying attention and taking it seriously. The Bible says dozens of times that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, it might sound as though I've been trying to unload on you all kinds of bad news. It might sound as though I want you to think negatively about God. That's not my intention. God is good. My intention is to show you that you are not God. There are no other gods besides the one true God. It is neither safe nor right to ignore God or the fact that he is in control of all things. You are not in control. Your money is not in control. America is not in control. We and all things are under God's control. When you accept that God is in control of all things, it's going to change your perception of what's going on. When God is in control of all things, it means that when God sends you good things, you can recognize that they come from him. You can give him thanks. Now, our fallen, sinful flesh makes this very hard for us. We're much more prone to be blind to God's goodness, to grumble, or even attribute the good things that happen in our life to ourselves, our own powers or abilities. Nonetheless, though, when you recognize that God is in control of all things, you can know that when good things happen to you, they are gifts from God. When bad things happen, you can know that God is in control of them. He will place a boundary on them. We do not know how everything will go, but it will go how God wants it to go. And we know by the good news of God, by the gospel, that we are justified before God for Jesus' sake. By baptism and by faith in Jesus, we have a loving Father. We know that to be true. No matter what should happen, the difficulties and the troubles that he sends our way is his discipline. We don't know the way it will go or when it will end or how much it will hurt, but God, who loves us, is the one who does it. He will remain faithful to his promises to us. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him, and gladly do what he commands. Now let's apply all this to Peter. A bit of knowledge that's helpful to know about Peter is that before our reading tonight, he swore up and down that he would never leave Jesus. He would never die. He would die sooner than leave Jesus. If everybody else leaves him, he's not going to. And Jesus responded, "Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. When the shepherd is struck, the sheep will scatter." Now, in whom did Peter believe? He believed in himself. He believed that no matter what happens to anybody else, he is going to stay strong and true. We like believing in ourselves. It makes us feel strong and good. Unfortunately, the truth is that we are neither strong nor good. Did you notice what Paul said in our epistle reading? God gave Paul a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan. So this is not some cute little thing. It's a messenger of Satan. Why? So that he doesn't believe in himself. Paul didn't like this thorn. He wanted to be rid of it. He pleaded with God to take it away three times, but the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So Paul goes on to say that he will gladly, with pleasure, take delight or boast about his weaknesses. Now, people do not boast about how weak they are. They boast about how strong they are. But Paul, however, boasts about his weaknesses so that the power of Christ would rest upon him. For when Paul is weak, then he is strong, because the power of Christ rests upon him. Now, what happened with Peter was that when he was questioned about being Jesus' disciple, he was not content to be weak. He was afraid of letting God direct him wherever that might take him. He took the matter into his own hands and he denied Christ because he didn't want to be arrested. There might be a little bit of a guilty conscience going on there too. After all, he had cut off Malchus's ear. Maybe that's attempted murder, assault and battery at the least. And so Peter lies. "I don't know Jesus." Jesus is the very linchpin of our relationship with God, who works all things, and here Peter throws him away. What would be the alternative? Peter could have kept the commandments of God, entrusting himself to God, and let what happens happen. Maybe he would have been arrested. Would that have made God cease to exist? Maybe he would have been beaten to a pulp. Would that have made God not in control anymore? Ultimately, many years later, at the end of Peter's life, this kind of thing happened again, except the outcome was very different. After Peter did this, after Peter sinned, Jesus forgave him, he restored him, he strengthened him before he ascended into heaven. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit empowered Peter to preach a very dangerous sermon. Ultimately, Peter would be crucified for preaching the good news, the gospel, that God is well pleased with sinners for the sake of Jesus. What Peter was afraid of happening to him on the night when Jesus was betrayed actually did happen to him many years later. Except this second time, he didn't deny his Lord. He confessed Jesus and let God take control of all things. And what that meant was that he was crucified upside down. But he lost nothing in that. There is something extremely practical and applicable here for you. You probably don't remember the first time that you lied, But you can probably figure out why you lied. Why did you lie? It was probably because you were afraid of what would happen to you. You wanted to avoid that. And guess what? It probably worked like a charm, or at least appeared that way. You lied, and what you were afraid of having happen to you supposedly didn't happen. However, at the same time that you lied, what you were not afraid of having happen, what you probably didn't even think about, did happen. By your lying, you were alienated from God. You managed things how you wanted them to go, but at the same time, you were disbelieving in God and you broke his commandments. You cozied up not to the Heavenly Father, but to the Father of lies. What more practical thing can I say to you than you shouldn't lie? If you've done wrong, don't lie about it. Not lying about it may very well mean that you will be punished. You'll have some negative experiences that you would rather avoid. Do not let the fear of negative experiences run your life. Will negative experiences somehow make God cease to exist? Of course not. Will negative experiences make God cease to be in control of all things, including your life, including your punishment? Of course not. God will continue to exist. You will be much better off commending yourself to Him, putting your trust in Him, believing that He accepts you and loves you for the sake of Christ, than cozying up to the devil for your comfort by making his lies. It is truly the case that we know not what we do. We are by nature so utterly stupid and blind when it comes to spiritual matters. We think that the truth is bad, and we think that lies are good. God is bad and mean, and you can't trust him. The devil is nice and lenient. It is much better, much safer, much richer of a life for you to believe and acknowledge the truth. God is in control of all things. If this makes you afraid, that's okay. It's a lot better to be afraid of God than to think that he's some stupid stooge or that he doesn't exist or what have you. But in truth, we shouldn't be afraid. We have God's promise of love to us in Jesus. God loves us and approves of us because of Jesus. Therefore, whatever should happen to us will be for our good, even if we don't enjoy it for the moment. As Paul says, all things work together for the good of those who love him. All things work together for the good of those who love God. Peter was glorified, crucified upside down. He was loved by God at that moment. I don't know what's in store for you. I don't know your future, but you can know this. God is in control. God is for you in Jesus, even if it doesn't look like he is for you. We know that God is for you because he tells us in his word, and he doesn't lie. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.